Spider-Man 3 opens today at more theaters than any picture ever. Actually, there were extra midnight screenings last night to help the film set whatever box office records the previous two Spider-Man movies might have missed. NPR's Bob Mondello says that getting the money in fast is probably a good idea.
Superheroes have been dwelling a lot on their insecurities lately, so maybe this was inevitable. A hero whose emotions are out of control, villains who mean well, anguish over the leading lady's singing career, all shot in close-up so the movie will look good when it's played on cell phones in a few weeks. With four separate subplots and more twists than a daytime soap, Episode 3 plays like As the Web Turns, with special effects. That's a crane swinging through an office building so the audience can stop worrying for a moment about the chief bad guy's daughter's life-threatening illness. I say chief bad guy because there are three this time, and that's not even counting the mysterious black goo that turns everyone it touches into either a revenge-crazed freak or a bad dancer. We'll get to the bad dancing in a moment, but the three bad guys? Spidey's estranged best friend who's morphed into Green Goblin Jr.
Harry!
You knew this was coming, Pete.
Also, Venom, who's not much more than a mess of black goo with fangs. And Sandman, who gets demolecularized in the film's coolest effect and becomes the object of Spider-Man's black goo ravings.
What do you want from me?
Remember Ben Parker? The old man you shot down in cold blood?
What does it matter to you anyway?
Everything!
Uh-huh. And if you're over 13, this is all allegedly interesting because of the special effects, which are pretty special, though video gamey, also consequence-free since nobody even gets bruised when crashing through brick walls. Sandman gets his face shaved off by a passing train and remolecularizes. You sort of have to demolecularize your brain to stay engaged. But happily, the screenwriters still have good old Aunt May around to remind us that there's a message.
Revenge is like a poison that can take us over, and before you know it, can turn you into something ugly.
Makes your spidey sense tingle, doesn't it? Now, there are some real-world parallels for a super-powerful American with black goo possibly coloring his thinking, imagining he can take on the world's bad guys all by himself, especially when you throw in a revenge motive centered on a father figure, people falling from pulverized skyscrapers, and enough swirling sand to suggest a Middle Eastern desert. I'm not sure these parallels have actually occurred to director Sam Raimi, but when Spidey finally decides he needs allies to fight the evildoers, he does put on his red and blue suit and swing in front of an American flag. Isn't comic book land refreshing? Now, about that bad dancing I mentioned earlier, Aunt May said revenge can turn you ugly, and Raimi illustrates that notion not just with black goo, but by dressing actor Tobey Maguire in a skinny black suit and having him sleaze his way around a dance floor. Wait till you see how much editing it takes to turn him into a sort of Eurotrash John Travolta. But more than that, Raimi photographs his star from odd angles, making him look puffy during love scenes and awkward when he's not digitized. We're supposed to sympathize with this guy, and when I eventually did, it was mostly thinking, what's a poor superhero to do when not just three villains and his girlfriend, but even his director have turned against him? I'm Bob Mondello.